Challenge Cyber Defense.
The cyber threat analyses you need to know about. Cyber decryption. It's now.
Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we are moving a little beyond traditional cybersecurity. We're strapping in for an intense look at modern psychological warfare.
Exactly.
Specifically, how a new brand of hacktivism is, well, weaponizing human cognition instead of just relying on zero-day exploits. Mm-hmm. We're looking at groups that target your mind first.
And to guide you through this complex landscape, this deep dive is presented by the Cyber Intelligence Bureau. We're a specialized division of the Orange Cyber Defense Epidemiology Laboratory.
And your approach is pretty unique.
It is. It's deliberately broad. We combine OSINT techniques, you know, open source intelligence, with critical human evidence. This all comes from deep, sustained investigations, which allows us to map the full spectrum of a threat. So we're looking not just at code, but at the emotional, the cognitive, and even the geopolitical influences behind these attacks.
So our focus today is a collective known as the Cyber Legion Army, or CLA. They appeared, late October 2025? And what really defines them isn't causing massive infrastructure damage.
No, not at all.
Their primary objective is to recruit, to groom, and then mobilize a whole network of dissidents using these incredibly sophisticated psychological techniques. Our mission today is to unpack exactly how CLA turns a passive reader into an active cyber partisan.
Let's dig in.
So let's start where CLA starts, their core identity. They emerged positioning themselves as cyber partisans fighting for a free Russia. It's explicitly anti-authoritarian, against censorship, against war, a powerful frame. But, you know, lots of groups have that frame. What makes CLA's messaging stick?
It's how fast they apply psychological anchors. Yeah. You have to look at the opening manifesto on the Russian version of their site. That's the primary vector. It's translated from French, interestingly, and it says, "La liberté ne peut être bloquée, la vérité ne peut être effacée."
Freedom cannot be blocked. Truth cannot be erased.
Exactly.
Okay, on the surface, that sounds like a typical, you know, morale-boosting slogan. But you're saying it's a tool for cognitive manipulation. How?
It is a profound manipulation of expectation. They're masterfully exploiting something called the framing effect.
Kahneman and Tversky.
That's the one. They frame the struggle not as a risky battle, but as an inevitable victory. It's what's called a game frame.
Mm-hmm.
For a potential dissident, in a very high-risk environment, that promise of an inevitable win, it activates an optimism bias. It makes the personal risk seem manageable.
It reduces that cognitive dissonance, that why should I risk everything if we might lose feeling?
Precisely. They make the risk feel worthwhile because the outcome feels assured.
So they're psychologically selling the outcome before they sell the effort.
That's it, exactly. And they compound this with subtle neuro-linguistic programming, NLP. They use linguistic presuppositions. So when they say the truth cannot be erased, they presuppose two things. First, mm-hmm. that an objective shared truth exists. And second, that the regime is actively trying to hide it.
Which is critical. Because if I'm reading that and I'm frustrated with the government, I'm already forced to agree with both points.
Exactly. It forces this implicit subconscious agreement. It aligns you with the group's mission before you even start to consciously think about it. And research shows that applying these initial anchors can significantly increase militant engagement. We're talking up to 40% higher initial commitment.
Just from one sentence.
Just from one sentence. The reader's no longer just a reader. They're psychologically vetted. They're aligned. They've been given the moral high ground and the promise of belonging to the winning team.
And that really sets the stage for the rest of their recruitment funnel.
Okay, let's move to the website itself. The analysis suggests it's a remarkably efficient psychological funnel. It starts with a filter. Tell us about these mysterious obfuscated text blocks, 0x6AD0, just inserted with no explanation.
This is where their cognitive intelligence strategy just shines. This technique creates a massive information gap.
The Lowenstein concept.
When you present incomplete or cryptic information, you activate this intense curiosity in the human mind. For an IT pro, a developer, this isn't just a puzzle. It's an irresistible challenge. It's a digital dare.
It is. And what's more, this activates the Zeigarnik effect, the principle that we remember unfinished tasks much more effectively than completed ones.
So the site sticks in your head.
It becomes highly memorable. And by hiding two elements in the code, a synthetic manifesto and, more importantly, leaked root access credentials for a Kremlin IP address, they turn discovery into an initiation ritual.
Whoa, those leaked credentials. That's a massive risk-reward signal right there.
Absolutely. The puzzle filters for technical skill, but the credentials filter for a willingness to engage in high-risk activity. It says, if you can solve this, you have the skill. If you look at this, you have the intent.
So it filters for dedicated, technically proficient profiles right at the door. But a movement needs more than just hackers. How do they broaden the net for non-technical people?
That's the pivot in their no subjectives section, our objectives. After that technical filter, they deliberately democratize the action. They give this extremely inclusive list of contributions. It ranges from high-level stuff, like finding vulnerabilities, all the way down to just diffusing important information.
So they just dramatically lower the barrier to entry?
Exactly. This is a direct application of Bandura's theory of self-efficacy. The goal is to make sure non-technical dissidents believe that their role matters. By breaking the mission into these small, achievable roles, anyone who opposes the regime can find something they can do.
Which boosts their confidence to contribute.
And leads to much higher initial contributions, because people believe their small effort is actually consequential to the whole cause.
So it keeps the tech talent focused while mobilizing this huge distribution network.
It creates a synergistic ecosystem, which leads to the final step in the funnel, the Partager la Formation section, the call to action.
Right. And that section uses very personalized language like to or your, and it gives an explicit promise. We guarantee anonymity and careful handling of your information.
This is critical. It's doing two things psychologically. First, that guarantee of anonymity, it drastically reduces risk aversion.
Yeah.
That's essential in a high surveillance state.
Of course.
Second, the promise itself creates a moral debt.
A moral debt. How does a promise of safety create a debt?
This is classic reciprocity. Cialdini wrote all about it. CLA is just giving you something of high value safety assurance before you've given them anything. So now you feel psychologically obligated to reciprocate, to give them the information they want.
And that first submission is the crucial step. It moves them from observer to collaborator. They've crossed the line.
They've crossed the line.
So once someone has crossed that line, they enter CLA's community. And it's highly structured, right? Two tiers.
Yeah.
You have the open group where anyone who contributes can get in. The focus there is on ideas, training novices.
Right. The open group is essentially the vetting and training ground. It fosters unity with that collective intelligence idea. But the real motivation engine is the closed group, the COSTIAC, the core.
Membership there is aspirational, invitation only, majority approval based on loyalty and effectiveness.
And that leverages two core psychological vectors. First is the scarcity bias. By making elite membership exclusive and hard to get, it motivates intense, sustained contributions from the open group. People have to prove themselves.
Oh, I see.
The second is social identity theory. By calling the closed group the core, or the most distinguished, it reinforces in-group favoritism. Becoming part of the COSTAC becomes a critical part of your identity.
Which maximizes loyalty.
And minimizes internal dissent.
So let's see how this structure translates into action. Their biggest known operation was right after they went public. The compromise of a huge state-aligned Russian bot farm on October 29th, 2025.
Yeah, that operation involved 300 social media accounts, an audience of over 500,000 subscribers. It was the definitive proof of concept for their entire strategy.
And their genius was in the objective. It wasn't destruction, no DDoS, no ransomware.
Their strategy was reappropriation, or what we call bot derivation.
What's the strategic advantage of taking over the network versus just destroying it?
It's the difference between temporary disruption and total narrative subversion. They took control of that whole pre-established network, a network built to spread pro-Kremlin propaganda. And they reused it.
They turned the regime's own weapon against itself.
Instantly. They transformed tools of state control into platforms for dissidents. They leveraged the trust that network had already built.
So they're an informational warfare threat, not an infrastructure threat.
Precisely. The estimated damage was over $1 million. But that cost wasn't hardware. It was the loss of influence, the loss of audience trust, and the massive cost to rebuild that narrative control from scratch. This operation really solidifies their core motivation to erode the regime's control of the narrative. That's far more devastating than taking a server down for a few hours. They want to destabilize trust, not just infrastructure.
So this deep dive really confirms a critical shift. The effectiveness of a group like Cyber Legion Army doesn't come from, you know, superior technical sophistication. Our sources suggest they use pretty common tools. Social engineering, basic R8s.
Right. Readily available stuff.
Instead, their power comes from an absolute mastery of psychological and cognitive manipulation. They are defined by information warfare.
Which I think raises a really important question for you, the listener, to think about as we wrap up. Given how quickly CLA managed to frame dissent as this inevitable victory and leverage these deep cognitive biases, the information gap, the scarcity bias, it suggests that psychological manipulation might be the single most effective weapon against any established digital narrative.
A really good point.
So what truly makes any digital narrative, whether it comes from a state, a corporation, or an ethical source, what makes it resilient against these techniques when the human mind itself is the target?
A foundational challenge for the digital age. Thank you for joining us for this deep dive into the world of cyber partisans and cognitive manipulation. We'll see you next time.
The cyber threat analyses you need to know about. Cyber decryption. We'll be talking about it on this channel very soon.
Orange Cyber Defense.